This is a time when we focus on giving thanks and giving lots of thanks. And the title of this sermon is Giving More Than Thanks. Okay. Our scripture is from Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 7 through 12. This may puzzle you a little as you say, why is this a Thanksgiving scripture? Well, I'll tell you. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. Mm-hmm. He got that from Isaiah 45. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it from the New International Version. I'm of the opinion that when we give thanks to God, and perhaps very openly in many ways, now at our traditional Thanksgiving holiday, our giving of thanks, I think, is centered around those ways that God has blessed us and how much he's given to us. There's nothing wrong with that. But the additional scriptures that I read near the beginning of the service make us feel that way, don't they? Yes, they do. But perhaps the scripture for this message, Romans 14, may, and I hope it does, give us a significant additional perspective on for what we give thanks. Most, I think if not all of us, are familiar with a great man of the 1800s, Daniel Webster. When I read this quotation from him, I was not fully aware of the fact that his fame was as a politician. I don't know. I thought maybe he did the dictionary. But he was a politician. He was a congressman in Washington, and he was Secretary of State appointed by three different presidents. I'd say he's a very thoughtful man. And this quote from him leads us very well into this additional perspective on why we give thanks. A strong politician, man about our nation's capital, Daniel Webster once said, "The most serious thought of my life is that I, as an individual, am accountable unto God." I think you can easily see how this fits with Paul's words of today's scripture on the back of your bulletin. In verse 10, Paul says, we will all stand before God's judgment seat. And then verse 12, he adds, each of us will give account of ourselves to God. So then, what is our major response of thanks to God? It is, my friends, shown to God in how we respond to all of what he has given us. To use a word that we don't use often enough, it is our stewardship to our Creator. What and how we specifically present back out of what he has given us daily. Mm-hmm. Present a significant portion or percentage of all of that. Present it to him. That's how we give thanks. You see, total stewardship involves the total person. And that's because stewardship means far more than what we probably think it does. Well, think about this. God gives us time. And yes, we're pretty good about thanking God for portions of time. Milton, in his prayer, gave thanks for a good night's rest. Waking up each morning, we may do the same thing. We may thank you, God, for this new day and what I'm going to be able to do in it. At night, we may have in our closing prayers of the day, thank you, God, for the great day that I had today. And similar ways, we give thanks for specific portions of time. But beyond that, how are we stewards of all the time that God gives us? A steward is one who efficiently returns, has that invested portion of some of what he's been entrusted with from his master, and returns that portion to God. God's word is clear. We will give an account to God of how we spend our time. Here are just some small examples of what we should know and present to God. We will be held accountable for how much of our time we gave witnessing to the lost. We will give an account of how much time we spent in helping those in need, as you have suggested, visiting those who were sick, spending time comforting the grieving. Next, beyond time, I have to tell you, I'm gratified to have this emphasized, since we speak of it every Sunday in our congregational benediction. We will give an account of how we have used our tongue. May the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, Psalm 19:14. We are stewards of speech, of right speech. And we'll be accountable for even negative and empty words that we say. Stewards of all words, according to Jesus. Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. The truth is, we will give an account of the good and of the bad that we have spoken. Let's focus on the good. And we are all charged with a personal responsibility of using the hidden talents. Maybe not hidden talents, the observable talents that we've been given by God. I'm speaking here of giving back a portion of a talent that glorifies and partners with God in His work. Some people sing beautifully. Some people can teach. Some others are given the talent to effectively witness. Some are given the talent of intercessory prayer. We are all given by God some talents, and we will all be held accountable for how we have used our talents when we stand before the judgment seat. And we will give an account of how we have used the opportunities to witness that have been opened to us. And in fact, we all have opportunities. Some speak of Christ at the hair salon, over at the gym. Some, while they're doing the grocery shopping, invite people to come to church with them. Some tell of the love of Christ over their fishing rods and around a campfire at deer camp. But many do not. Many find themselves talking about anything other than God's work. And for that, their stewardship of the good news will come to a time of accountability. Jesus, you know, gives the gift of witnessing to his good news to all of his followers. Go into all the world, he commanded at the end of Matthew. You are to be my witnesses, he said, even as his last words on earth at his resurrection ascension in Acts 1. We are all accountable to be stewards of what we will present to God of our own telling of the word to the world. Well, being a steward is being thankful. But now I come to what we usually think of when the word stewardship is used. And this in relation to giving money and thanksgiving. Giving money to God's work is thanksgiving. When we give, we are giving thanks. I'm hoping by this point, Christian stewardship means and involves more than just dropping money into the offering plate. And I want to illustrate this in perhaps a, well, maybe a strange way. Certainly it's a different way. Being godly stewards, I would say, involves our position behind the offering plate, above the offering plate, in the offering plate, and beyond the offering plate. Mm-hmm. As you look at me with these, look with me at these four aspects, you'll see we are not good stewards until we have fulfilled our responsibility to God in all four of those aspects. Mm-hmm. There's behind the offering plate. Okay. This means God is concerned with how we earn our money. He expects us to seek money for living at a legitimate life work. Go all the way back to God's Ten Commandments for living. Exodus 20, verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. See, for God to legitimize work, you must know that he approves of God-approved work. And God spoke from Paul, who taught us so much, teaching God's ways to the church at Thessalonica, told them about God's rules for work. He said, when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. When you consider earning money, you're concerned that it be for work that pleases God. And here's some good questions to ask yourself. Is this work really legal? Is it helpful to others? Is it fair to everyone concerned? All of those are considerations, and there are others before you get to the stewardship of returning an offering to God. The offering you're going to return needs to be able to answer those kind of questions very positively. That's behind the offering plate. There's over the offering plate. And that's when you're thinking about giving before you give. God also wants us, he wants to know if you have the right attitude towards your money. Again, the teaching of Paul, who wrote what God inspired him to write. For the love of money is the root of all evil. He wrote that to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:10. Before you can change or have a good attitude toward money, you must ask yourself several questions. Would I be just as happy without as much money as I have now? How about, would you be willing to take a job, even with less pay, in order to have time to attend the Lord's house on the Lord's day? Would I depend on God more if I didn't have as much money? You see, an unfortunate tendency is that as we become more affluent, we have a tendency to depend on our own resources and less on God. Another question, do I tend to put money before God or my church or my family? And Jesus nailed this one down real good as he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. And this brings us to the third step, the third money step in the offering plate. As you hold your money just ready to drop it in the offering plate, God whispers another question to you. Why are you giving this money? Your gift to God's work as a steward, returning some of what God has provided for you, should be from a heart of love and a desire to serve Him. It should not be given out of duty. It should not be given to receive reward or praise from people. Your tithe and your offerings should not be given to make up for failures in other areas of your Christian life. Giving, the return to God from you as His steward, is an outgrowth of dedication, not a substitute for dedication. You know, we're generally not too keen on saying this, but we know it. Christians are specifically accountable for what they put into the offering plate. Specifically accountable. When God asks me, how much did you put in the offering plate? He's not talking about a number of dollars. He's speaking to me about percentage. From time immemorial, God has always asked for 10% of our earnings, of our income, of our crops, whatever it is that He's been giving us. That is the beginning point. That's the least that we are to return. But at least 10%. That is, if we are really His stewards, returning to the Master that which He's, a portion of that which He's given to us. But again, we've not necessarily been forthright about another understanding, that God desires that we go beyond the tithe as soon as we get stronger in our deeper understanding of stewardship. Returning a grateful portion, not just a required portion or a determined portion, but a grateful proportion of what God has given. Again, Paul's word to the church, these words are from God. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. As God has prospered you and blessed you to a greater extent, then you are to give proportionally as God has blessed you. That's the third point of stewardship. What goes into the offering plate? What goes in there? We do have one more point. Point four, beyond the offering plate. God wants us to be wise and faithful stewards of the money that we have left after returning our tithe and then the beyond in giving our offerings. The great theologian and preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "A fool can make money, but it takes a wise man to spend it." Which brings us to another stewardship concept that we failed to talk about enough. So often the possessions that are left at the death of a loved one can, they often do, cause headaches and heartbreak among the loved ones that remain. So, question for you as a true Christian steward. Do you know before your death how your money will be used, how it will be proportioned out after your death? Well, all Christians should pray about this and let God help them decide what percentage of their estate will go to the work of the Lord. What will be a return to God's work as a faithful steward? That's a part of all that He has given to us. So here we are. We must gather all the facts and information that God has given us concerning stewardship so that we can wisely evaluate our accountability and we can really know more deeply our thanksgiving to God. As we give our money, as stewards, as we return that portion of what God has provided us, we need to realize that God looks behind the offering plate. He looks over the offering plate. He looks in the offering plate and he looks beyond the offering plate. Thanks to God is great, but let us give more than thanks this Thanksgiving. Let our faithful stewardship show God the depth of our thanks to Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.